God bless you, sir.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, saints. We are glad to be together again on another last day. Come to praise and come to give him glory. So glad you're able to make it this morning. And we look to the Lord that he will energize us by his spirit. And we will be blessed as we listen to what God has to say to us today. Just want to remind you that we will be having the breaking of bread service after the ministering of God's word. So please get ready for that. Bless God. It's a very interesting passage of scripture that was read to us today by Sister Bennett. And we will be taking a look at it as we see what the Lord is saying. I said through the Apostle Paul, and indeed by extension he's saying to us today, I look to the Lord that he will bless our hearts as we look on his word. Topic that I would like to use today to us is from this passage is, we are the praise of his glory. We are the praise of his glory. And when I say we, I'm referring to the believers, the born-again Christians. We are the praise of his glory. There are three areas that I would like to quickly look on today to us. I am very much mindful of the time because we will be having the breaking of bread service later on. And so there are three quick thoughts coming from this passage that I'd like to touch on as we look on God's word. One of them is, when he first saw us, that's the question that we'd like to ask ourselves. When did he first saw us? Second one is, he owned us. He owns us. We are his, we belong to him. The third one is the center piece of his glory. We are the centerpiece of his glory. All of these are subtopics under the topic, we are the praise of his glory. So we'll be briefly looking on these as we try to cover it before the time comes for the breaking of bread service. All right. Following the passage of scripture that Sister Bennett read, there are other passages that we're going to look on. So I'm going to ask you if you would have your Bible close by you. But let us take a look on at least 3 to 4 verses from what she read here to start with. And I'm going to start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Last verse, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I read those verses there because that's where we're going to start. And so we start with the question, when did he first saw us? When did he first saw you? When did he first saw me? Sister Bennett, when did the Lord first saw you? Certainly not since you come into the Apostolic Church. Sister Bennett, when did the Lord first saw you? Certainly not when you came inside the apostolic church. And these are questions to ponder over. Because without doing this, we get the impression that we just up on the scene. And there's a possibility of us upping off too. Not realizing that there is a purpose to us here. The eternal purpose of God is being revealed. And it is being revealed in a systematic type of way. Not anything apposite, but in a direct, systematic type of approach God has in regards to every single individual that are involved in his work, that are in the church. So when did he first saw you? When did he first saw me? When did he first saw us? These are questions to ask. And according to the passage we have just read, and I went over, verse 4 tells us, according as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Make a note of that. Before the foundation of the world. And verse 5 said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. Before the foundation of the world, saints, God saw you. God saw me. Before we were conceived, before there was any possibility of us having a grandparents, God saw you. God saw me. And when we grasp our hands around this, it brings us to the reality that God is a sovereign God. Sovereign in the sense that he knows the ending from the beginning. He is in full control of everything. The book of Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you were formed in the belly, he said to Jeremiah, I know you. Talking here about God take away our rights and program us to be conformed to his image or the image of his son. We are talking about God taking away our rights. We are talking about his foreknowledge in knowing all things. God knows the decision. God knows the decision that Sister Mariana's daughter that was just born, her great-grandchildren, if the Lord tarries, God knows the decision that they are going to make. Whether or not that decision is going to be to serve God or not, God at this very present time knows their decisions. And acting upon their decision that they are going to make, God has gone ahead, hallelujah, Hallelujah. And based on those decisions, make provision to place us into the family of God. So you and I believe that is only when we came into the apostolic church that God met us. God knew us long before the foundation of the world. And that's why it says, that's why it is important that we understand John chapter 14. That says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there we may be also. In that promise, God said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Let me say to the church this morning that heaven cannot be overbooked. There is no way where one can say there is not enough room in heaven for every single saint of God. Because God in his foreknowledge knows the exact number of people that are going to be in heaven. He knew that before the foundation of the world. And he went ahead and he is gone to prepare a place for an exact number. He knows, based on the fact that those who are going to make decision to serve him, he knows the particular number. And it is not that God has infringed on our rights to make decision. I want all of us to get that straight. When we talk about predestinated, we are talking about God has taken away our rights. We are talking about the sovereign God in his knowledge knew about our decisions long before we made them. As a result of that, he has gone ahead and made preparation for us to be in the family of God and to conform to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul called the whole thing a mystery. Paul called the whole thing a mystery. Difficult for one to really grasp this truth. And I want to say to all of us this morning here in this church that God is preparing a people for himself. We are his workmanship, declares the Bible. We are his work. God is building a people, as it said here in verse 4, a people who should be holy and without blame before him in love. God is building a people, and God is going somewhere with it. Listen to what the Lord says. It is a systematic type of way in which the Lord operates. Look to what he said here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Reading from verse 29 and verse 30. Romans 8. For let me read from verse 28. So I read verse 28, 29, and 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow. Listen to that. He knew us before the foundation of the world, says Ephesians chapter 1. Here now, the Lord is saying to his servants, for whom he did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can you see the principle under which God operates? He first foreknew us, meaning he knew the decision that you were going to make. He knew the decision I was going to make long before the foundation of the world. And having known that, he predestinated us to conform to the image of his son. Hallelujah! Meaning you are going to look like Jesus. I am going to look like Jesus because this is the person, this is the people that God is preparing. A people that will look like Jesus. A people that will operate like Jesus. A people that will be joint heirs with Jesus. God is doing this that he might receive the glory. The Bible said in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he called. Called of God, meaning the word of God was preached and we respond to it. God knew that before the foundation of the world, we would respond to the word preached. That is the sovereign ability of Almighty God. And whom he called, them he justified. Now, I like the word justified, because it means that God who justified us places us in a position as if we have never sinned. Being justified by God is as if we have never sinned. He declares us righteous. That's what it means here. Whom he called, he justified. Take away our sins and impute righteousness in us based on the sinless life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And ultimately, whom he justified, he is going to glorify. Now we will touch on this glorification in a minute. But that is where God is going. Follow the sequence of what God is doing. He first saw us long before we ever came on the scene. Long before we involved in anything called church. Long before we were even conceived by our parents. And as a result of our action, as a result of our decision to accept the Lord and Savior, God started to build a people for himself. And that's why we are involved here today in the service of a people, regardless of who you are. We are involved in the service today because what? God saw your decision long ago and he acted upon it. So that we can today, after being justified, be called the children of God. Praise God. Then that brings me to the second thought. That brings me to the second thought here. And that is, he owns us. Now, I don't know how many of us really like the term, he owns us. But I want to tell you that it is true, that he does. Look on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Look on Ephesians 1, verse 13. The same passage that was read earlier. In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel, after your salvation. In whom also, after that, ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I may well read the next verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He owns us. I have been owning us. What he does, he placed a seal. He placed a seal, a stamp of approval, a stamp of ownership upon you and me, that we are the children of God. Follow the sequence. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. But having done that, what is it that he's doing? He is molding us. And he's putting now his stamp of approval on us. He owns us. First Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Let's see what that says. First Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Listen to what it says here. Paul writing, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul is making clear here that knowing not that the Holy Ghost lives in you and your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and we are bought with a price. And I like how Peter puts it. Peter said we were not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we were purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We belong to the Lord. And that is ownership. The Lord own every believer because we were purchased with the spotless blood of Jesus. And that is one thing here. The other thing is that our inheritance, based on this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, but especially verse 14, speak about our inheritance. Not only that, he owns us by putting his stamp of approval on us. In fact, when you think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, he said that the foundation of God standeth sure. Having the seal of God, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The seal of God demonstrates that we belong to him. It's peak of ownership. We belong to the master. But it is a twofold presentation right here. Because it speaks of ownership. And at the same time, it speaks to something that is guaranteed. It speaks to the fact that our inheritance is guaranteed. Our inheritance is guaranteed as we look forward to receive from him. Romans chapter 8. Let's visit Romans chapter 8 again. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 for a second here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Listen to what this says as we talk about the how much our inheritance is guaranteed. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be received in us. I read that again. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a word of comfort to our hearts. What a word of comfort to our hearts. Believers, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared. Some of us are experiencing suffering. And some of us, suffering is health suffering. Some of us, suffering is financial suffering. Some of us, suffering is relationship suffering. Some of us, suffering is hardship suffering. Some of us, suffering varies. Different type of suffering the believers are experienced and engaged in. But the Apostle Paul is saying, look, it is whatever it is that we are passing through, it is nothing, nothing compared to the glory that is ahead. That is our inheritance, which as a result of us being sealed, is guarantee that we will receive. My brothers, my sisters, when I look and see what God is saying to us here, he gives us the assurance and the confidence that we should continue to look steadfast to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because there is something better than this. The apostle in 1 Corinthians did make a statement, if it is in this life only that we have hope, we would be of men most miserable. There is something greater than what we are experiencing right now. And God in his foreknowledge has placed this in writing where you and I can have it this morning so that we don't become weary or cast down, not knowing that our inheritance is guaranteed. God has placed this here, because whom he foreknow, then he predestinate to be conformed to the image of Christ. And whom he predestinated, then he called. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he glorified. A systematic approach God has for the believers. So right now we are in the process of God building his church that would be conformed, and will be conformed to the image of Christ. So don't get weary, my brother. Don't get weary, my sister. God is in control. And then if we get back to our topic, we are the praise of his glory. Three times in this passage, Ephesians 1, God make reference to that. Three times, verse 6, verse 12, verse 14, God made reference to the fact that we are the praise of his glory. And this is twofold. The praise of his glory is twofold here. It means that we the body of Christ, that he is building to conform to the image of Christ. We have a responsibility in worshiping, in praising, in glorifying this God, who has the ability to see from before the foundation of the world and put in place the mechanism by where we can be conformed to the image of Christ. We have the responsibility to glorify and praise him. That's why when we come together in a Sunday morning service, which is the worship service, and even Tuesday nights when we come together and we have a time of worship and praise, I continue to encourage the brethren, let's praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's give the Lord glory. And it means that we should be seeing what God is doing. And open our mouth and give him the fruit of our lips, which is praise and worship. We should see that as brethren, as believers before God, that it is our responsibility to do that. We are the praise of his glory. But look at what the psalmist David, looking down through the corridors of time, and saw the church, saw the people of God. Look and see what he has said here. In Psalms 150, 150, the last Psalms that we have. Listen to what the psalmist said, looking down through the corridors of time. In Psalms 150, he said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The psalmist, looking down through the eyes of the prophetic ministry, and saw the church in its fullness before God uttering praise, uttering worship, giving God glory for what he has done for us. I exhort you this morning, church. And I lift up the name of Jesus. That we start to pay attention to worshiping God. Because we are the praise of his glory. Three times the Apostle Paul stated here in this passage. Verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. We are the praise of his glory. But in closing, there's another side to it. And that brings us to the last point. The centerpiece of his glory is we, the church. The centerpiece of the glory of God. And there's a twofold ministry right here. One, we have the responsibility to praise him for his mighty acts. And two, we form the centerpiece of his glory, of which we're going to look on right now. Listen to what happened here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2, as we go into the second half of this section here. That in the, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, listen to that, to come. And maybe I should read verse 6 too. Let me read from verse 6. And hath raised us up together and placed us and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. you would get a fuller meaning if I back up a little further. So let me back up a little further as I read this. I read from verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, I read from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here is the verse now, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. What a powerful verse of scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 7. What a powerful verse of scripture. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Something that is yet to be unfolded. And so we ask ourselves the question, who it is that he is going to show us to? Who it is that he is going to show off the church with? Who it is described here that he might show? Who it is that he's going to show? What type of audience that is going to be? That God is going to show off his masterpiece to? Certainly, it could not be the church, because the church is the masterpiece. So who is it that in the ages to come with something we look forward to right now as we speak? God is going to put on display exhibit one. He's going to put on display his masterpiece, his extraordinary work, which from before the foundation of the world he saw. What is the audience? This brings me to the final scripture that we will read. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 8 to verse 13. Because the topic that we are looking on today declares we are the praise of his glory. The praise of his glory, which is stated three times here in this passage. And we are told in Ephesians 2 that God is going to show off this accomplishment to an audience. We are asking the question, what audience is he going to show it off? Show us off to. Let us see if we can find some answer. In Ephesians chapter 3, as I read from verse 8 to verse 13. Listen to what he said. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Again, the Apostle Paul referred to it, the whole process, as a mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. The Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, a very important passage in connection to what we have been ministering on since we start just now. Very important, because we ask ourselves the question before we came here, what is the audience that he is going to show off the church to? His masterpiece, which is going to be the praise of his glory. As we said, it has a twofold presentation. One, we praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him for his excellent greatness. We praise him for his goodness, his love, his mercy towards us. But there's another side to it. There's another side to this. We are the toast His glory. We are the centerpiece of His glory to which He embraces and takes great delight in. And He's showing us up to a company. And the Apostle Paul tells us what company it is that He's showing us up to. In verse 10 that we have just read, it reads like this. To the intent, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who is the audience? The principalities, the powers. We're in heavenly places. The exhibit A, the church, the body of Christ, is going to be on display to inform them about the greatness and the goodness and the triumphant victory of Almighty God in His glory. They gaze upon the church and say, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who from before the foundation of the world have gone ahead and made provision for the sons of men to be reconciled and dropped in to the body of Christ. Look what the Lord has done to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Be informed by exhibit A, the church, enveloped in the glory of Almighty God, as He gazes on His masterpiece. As the word tells us, His right hand and His holy arm has gotten Him this victory. So you are suffering, you are going through difficulties. I am suffering. I am going through difficulties. We are suffering. We are going through difficulties as children of God right now. But the word said, this is nothing. This is nothing compared to the glory which awaits us. And we are sealed by God. For two reasons, by way of ownership, He owns us, and the seal carries an extension to it, guaranteeing our inheritance. And we have become the praise of His glory, which the Apostle Paul said awaits us in the ages to come. In the ages to come, He might show. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand that we're not just involved in coming to church and Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights. We are a people of God in which God is preparing to show forth His glory. I trust that we will not make any distraction that the world might present before us rob us from our eternal inheritance. My prayer to you, saints, is that you remain faithful as God unfold himself here to you and me, and live holy, so that we will be without blame before him, according to verse 4, in Christ Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the assurance that you gave us this day, of the fact that you are building a people, you are preparing a people for your glory and for your praise, to demonstrate to principalities and powers that this is as a result of your mercy and your grace, that a people who did not deserve your attention has now become the children of God. We thank you. And we look forward, Lord God, that we all in this service will share in that inheritance as we on our side here give you glory and give you praise and lift up your name at every given opportunity because of what you have done for us and what you continue to achieve for us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Can I hear the church of prayer to the Lord?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord.
It is worthwhile waiting for church. It is worthwhile waiting for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The center of peace. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord. I trust that the Lord has spoken to somebody's heart. And for you who might be faltering, for you who might be struggling, for you who might be experiencing a time of challenge, real challenge, and there are questions that seem to arise in your heart, I trust that you are comforted. We are comforted by this word. We are comforted by the word that the Lord spoke here in Romans chapter 8, when he declared, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which he shall receive." I trust that you are comforted with this word. We are not saved and then the Lord does take us out. We are saved and we are here to represent him in this present time. As we faint not, we will receive the glory that is promised to us. So I encourage you, my brother. I encourage you, my sister. Faint not, but hold on. Continue to serve God. He wants to show off with us before principalities and powers. And to say, look what the Lord has done. Bless the Lord.